All opinions expressed here are the views of the speaker, not necessarily those of their hosts, producers, or owners.
Hello, I'm Stuart Alexander, and once again I'd like to welcome our listeners to Socialist Can, 1 hour left. We come on this program once a week, and we have members of our panel discussing various subjects or delving into topics which are very relevant to our listening audience, which is very much on the left. We tend to deal with many of the issues that are relevant to national and also international issues, and also how these issues can be dealt with or how they should be addressed from a left position. Weekly on our program, we have Matt Owen, we have Deborah Mackey, and also Alan Mackey and myself coming to you weekly on this program. This week, we have some very interesting things happening. We have annual meeting of Socialist CAN, Socialist Connection Action Network, is going to be taking place in Austin, Texas, and we're looking forward to having people to come to that meeting to join each other, where we can share ideas and also how we can build this organization in collective unity. Deborah, I believe you're there on the line. If you can share with our audience about the program that's coming up this week there in Austin, Texas, and also the location of where the meeting will be taking place. Deborah?
Yeah, again, it's August 10th. It'll be from 8 to 6 in Austin, Texas, at the Live Oak Unitarian Church. If you go to Socialist CAN, Connection Action Network, and the first thing that you come to is the event, and it gives all the information in the event, where it is and hotels and such around the area. But it'll be an all-day roundtable discussion and discussing the social issues that are at hand.
And I was looking at the location for that, Deborah, and I haven't been to Austin in probably close to well over 40 years. Is this location right there in the city limits of Austin?
Well, I think it may actually be called Cedar Park. It's a suburb.
A suburb of
north.
Austin, Texas.
Yeah, kind of the north, I guess it'd be the northwest area, just outside of Austin.
Well, if anyone can get anywhere within 50 miles of there, I'll make certain that they get to that meeting room so they won't miss this event. So I'm looking forward to it. And we're going to get into our program in just a second. As I mentioned, we're going to be discussing much of what's going to be covered in this meeting that is coming up this weekend. Socialist CAN, how can we make a difference? That's what that conference is about. How can we make a difference? Even though at this point we are a small group, we have people that are in it that are looking for change. And even as a small group, we can still be able to make that change. But before we get into the meeting and to our talk program today, Deborah, you had a program which was this past Monday, Left of Liberal. Could you just share the contents of the program that you had this week?
Yeah, there is an innocent man on death row in Texas. His name is Rodney Reed. All the evidence points to another person who did the murder, the boyfriend of this woman who was killed. And we talked to Roderick Reed, his brother, explaining everything. It's a good program. It's Left of Liberal. We also have a Facebook page. Look for the White Peace Poppy, then, and you can find us. Also, a phone number of 512-517-2708. And you can also email at leftofliberal@outlook.com to reach us.
Thank you very much, Deborah, for covering that. Our meeting coming up this weekend on Saturday, we're going to be covering many of the things that we consider that are possible for us to accomplish, even as a small group. Within the past year, we have had hundreds of people that have expressed interest and even coming on board and joining us where we can make a difference, where socialists can. And presently, even being a small group and being organized for less than a year, Alan, what are a few of the challenges facing us as we attempt to impact change on the current political establishment here in the U.S.? Alan?
Well, we have a government that's pushing us into war after war, and there are never-ending wars that are costing trillions of dollars. And this is money that should be spent on things that people need, like health care, education. We were just talking about how kids going to school are forced to spend a lot of money to buy school supplies and everything. This shouldn't be in a public school. The school should be providing all the educational needs of the students. We have the health care issue, and this is an important issue because this country is the most industrialized country in the world, still without any kind of health care system other than a for-profit, market-driven system. And as socialists, we believe that we need a national public health care system that is publicly funded, publicly administered, and publicly delivered, just like public education. And then we have the whole issue of wages, the minimum wage. The minimum wage right now stands at $7.25 an hour. Nobody can live on that. And we need to spark a movement that's going to get working people a real living wage that's in line with the cost of living. And then we have the issue of Social Security, these miserly Social Security checks that are forcing people into poverty that have worked their entire lives is a disgrace. Here we are in the most wealthy country in the world, and people that retire after working a lifetime have to live on these miserly monthly Social Security checks. And we have, the issue of Rodney Reed, who's sitting in prison on death row, and his case really is an example of the injustices that take place all across this country every single day. This innocent man that was framed, and a crooked and corrupt cop did the murder. So, you know, these are some of the issues. I think that one of the most important issues, though, is peace. And a lot of organizations, even on the left, are not putting peace front and center like it needs to be. We can't get in all these trade wars and all these tariffs and everything that Trump is monkeying with, and the sanctions that are ruining people's lives in entire countries like Venezuela. And he's trying to bring down the governments of Venezuela, Cuba, and Nicaragua by making the lives of the people miserable. This is a terrible foreign policy that we got to oppose.
Now, Deborah, I'm quite certain you keep up with what's going on with current events. We can see with this embargo that is taking place and has been elevated, this embargo against Venezuela within the last few days, where the Trump administration has gone on an all-out attack against the people, not the government, against the people of Venezuela. Now, could you just very briefly just share what our concerns are in regards to the people of Venezuela and why we, as members and the people that are associated with Socialists Can, why we need to be speaking out against these atrocities that are being committed by the U.S. government? Deborah?
Well, it's basically an act of war. It's not right to keep people or keep countries from getting the supplies they need and the food they need to take care of their population. And this is just because Trump wants Guaido, the puppet president that they want to install in there, and the people in Maduro are holding strong with their constitution, and he has made, Maduro has made a statement that this won't bring us down. We will stay strong. So hopefully they can, and I think they'll get some support from other countries too to at least help their people to where they are not starving and without medication and things that they need. We'll be talking about things like that, I guess. Yeah.
Right. These are some of the things that we will be talking about and how we can be able to voice our concerns, because, as you just mentioned, Deborah, what is taking place in Venezuela right now, we have, in effect, we have declared war against Venezuela. I shouldn't say we have declared war against Venezuela. We have actually declared war against the people of Venezuela. So not until the people of that country succumb to the demands of the U.S. government, the U.S., in effect, is going to break down that government and break down the people and let thousands of people die until they give into becoming a puppet government for underneath the U.S. government. So these are some of the things that we will be addressing, how we can make a broader impact when we go to this, when we attend this meeting this weekend. Now, we have seen over the years where a small group can really have an impact to bring about change. Alan, could you just give us a couple of examples why we, even just having this meeting this weekend, and also where we are sharing information among ourselves, why it is important that we do this where we can impact change? What are some of the examples that you have, Alan?
Well, there's all kinds of examples where small groups of people have come together and built huge, huge movements as a result of their coming together and discussing what they could do. Examples are the New Deal legislation of the 1930s. It started with socialists and communists discussing what the solutions were to the problems of the Great Depression.
So it wasn't Democrats and Republicans. It was socialists and communists.
Right. And, Democrats don't like to acknowledge this, but socialists and communists regularly met with Franklin Roosevelt and Eleanor Roosevelt and Francis Perkins and other members of the administration. And Franklin Roosevelt, he constantly told these people, "I agree with you, but go out and make me do it." So the Democrats didn't want to just bring forward these reforms that were needed, that people needed in order to survive. You know, he made people go out into the streets, and many of these people were beaten and arrested in demonstrations. And, it started as small movements, and eventually it spread across the country. Millions of people came out and demanded unemployment compensation and Social Security and the right to unionize. And then once millions of people were out in the streets, Franklin Roosevelt went along with it, but he had a hard time bringing the Democratic Party along with supporting these reforms. Many of the Democrats, like Martin Dees, a very reactionary Democrat from East Texas, he even tried to impeach Frances Perkins, accusing her of having an affair with Harry Bridges, the communist longshoreman on the West Coast. So, these are it was struggles like this. Then we had, the movement against the Vietnam War. At the time that troops were originally sent in, small groups of people began picketing federal buildings, sometimes 3, 4, 5 people, maybe a dozen people. And eventually these grew to large, groups of people, and massive organizations came out in opposition to the Vietnam War. It forced Lyndon Johnson to not run for office again for a second term. And, the civil rights movement Rosa Parks was fed up and refused to give up her seat. And a small group of people supported her, and that turned into a larger group of people. And pretty soon it spread all over the country, and we had a huge civil rights movement. So, there are many, many issues where small groups of people have gotten together. Even public education, people don't realize at one point in this country, back in the mid-1800s, there was no such thing as public schools. But small groups of reform-minded people got together and began to organize for public education, and they won public education in this country. So, this is the way that movements are built. And, we're like one little snowflake. We don't amount to much. But let there be a blizzard, and, the government can't ignore this. And we've got to put socialism on the table. There's a lot of organizations that talk about that they're socialist, but they say, well, socialism is far down the road. We're not going to talk about it now. Well, we're at the point where capitalism is destroying this entire planet, and all humanity and all life is threatened now with climate change. And the
and these are some of the things that we need to address, even just recently, we see how Trump has been placing demands on the Federal Reserve to lower their borrowing rate when corporations borrow money so that they can do business. And this is further jeopardizing the economy. We are already in a recession. We're just going deeper into a recession. And eventually, we're going to be on the brink of being in a depression. But what this is doing, it is jeopardizing the security of the entire nation, like what took place in 2007 and 2008. We are already, again, approaching those dark days. And these are some of the things that are very relevant and we need to address, and we need to talk about within our group of how we can address this. Putting cheap money out there just so they can build the economy. And this person in the White House has done something that no other president has done. He is basically challenging the Federal Reserve to his whims. And when I say he is challenging the Federal Reserve, actually it is Wall Street saying that we want to borrow the cheap money. We want you to subsidize our businesses because this money will never be used to help working people. Working people in this country are struggling. 84% of all Americans don't even have money to do anything but pay their day-to-day bills. Only 16% of people in this country are able to put away any type of funds into savings. And these are some of the things that we will be addressing, how we can make a difference. Some of the things that you had mentioned, Alan, early on was we will be discussing our demands, $500 monthly increase for all Social Security recipients, cancellation on all student debt. Right now, the student debt in this country is over $1.5 trillion. We need to reach those individuals that feel like and consider themselves being consumed by debt, and they won't be free from this debt until they are in their senior years. We are also talking about increasing the federal minimum wage, as you mentioned, Alan. $16 an hour. We're not asking for much. Many people don't understand that the federal minimum wage is $7.25 an hour. That is far below poverty. Below poverty, $7.25. We are asking for $16. But we believe it needs to be more, and it needs to be adjusted to the cost of living. Another thing that we'll be discussing in our meeting this weekend is we need to address child daycare. Many parents are going to work and they can't afford the rising costs of daycare in this country. I see on a regular basis, I talk to people, myself being in the automobile industry, people saying that they are having to pay for daycare anywhere from $200 to $300 a week. $200 to $300 a week. That is net income that they have to pay for daycare. We have millions of working mothers and fathers that need to have this issue addressed. And these are some of the things that we're going to talk about, how we can be able to make a difference. Now, during the meeting that we have coming up this weekend, Deborah, I just want you to just take a pause, because we want people to know how they can be able to participate and where the meeting place will be this weekend for Socialist Can, 1 hour left, making a difference. Our meeting, our first annual meeting this year. Deborah?
Yeah, all the information is on the Socialist Connection Action Network page that Stuart started. Go in there, and if you're not already a member, consider joining it. And it's the first event that you come to. When you get on that page, the meeting is Socialists Can Make a Difference. It's August 10th from 8 to 6 in, Austin or Cedar Park, Texas, at the Live Oak Unitarian Church. So it'll be a roundtable discussion. Just consider coming, consider joining us. If you can, respond to the event. That'll let us know how many people are coming.
And Deborah, some of the things that we're going to be talking about at this meeting that will be relevant to our mission, and I would like for you to just share just a few of those. We're going to be calling for global peace. Why is it so important that that be at the top of our agenda, calling for global peace?
Well, nobody wants war.
I think someone in the White House wants war.
Yeah, this won't be a good war. This will be, a war that could end all wars for sure and end all humanity. Not only that, but, these trade deals that he's coming up with, the trade deals that make no sense. We had a perfectly good trade system with other countries, it worked well, and now he's saying it's not working well, and that we should, get them in their place, and all that's doing is causing a lot of destabilization all over the world, and those trade wars can lead to real wars, so it's a shame. The mess that we're in.
Alan, top of our agenda, as I mentioned, is we're calling for global peace. Why, in your opinion, is that so important?
Because we're spending trillions of dollars on wars, and that money should be going for human needs to begin with. But, the more Trump ratchets up this whole international... the problems that he's created pushes us closer and closer to World War III and nuclear war. And, everybody should be concerned about this. You can't keep building for wars and spending massive amounts of money on wars without eventually getting into wars. And this government has made it clear that it has no hesitancy of going to war any place in the world. And this is a dangerous situation. This country is trying to control the waters in the Straits of Hormuz. This government's trying to control the waters in the China Sea. This government's trying to control the waters around the Horn of Africa. And
the borders of Russia.
And the borders of Russia. Trump is inciting... and fueling animosity with countries like Mexico and Canada. And this can't go on forever without there you know, being a war started in some way. The whole thing with Iran places us close to World War III. And
we're also going to be talking about a national health care program. We're not talking about the same thing that you're talking that Medicare for all and what we see coming from Senator Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders. But we believe that is an important it is important that we as a nation have a national health care program. I'd like for both of you just to comment why that's going to be part of our agenda for this weekend for discussion. Deborah or Alan first?
Well, first of all, what some of these Democrats are proposing by way of Medicare for all, it's an election gimmick. Anybody can read, you know, Bernie Sanders said that he wrote the legislation. Okay, but anybody that reads the legislation can see that there's no way to finance what he's talking about. So, you know, it's a phony piece of legislation intended to be an election gimmick. And Democrats have been using Medicare for All as an election gimmick since 1948. Frances Perkins, who was the mother of the New Deal, she had a national public health care program on the agenda, and Roosevelt took it off the New Deal agenda under pressure from the American Medical Association. Now, it's important to realize Medicare for All continues the for-profit, market-driven health care system. It takes out the insurance companies, but we're not even sure if it takes out the insurance companies because they may be in charge of administering this program, just like the banks are in charge of administering the food stamp program. So, you know, but not only that, the doctors and the hospitals, the pharmaceutical companies, the nursing homes, all these remain within the profit sphere of healthcare under Medicare for All. And we know how the doctors today are milking the healthcare system through Medicare and Medicaid. They, you know, are charging the government for services that they're not even providing. And a number of doctors have been charged with bilking the Medicare and Medicaid systems of millions and millions of dollars. So, you know, whenever you got these profits there, you got this greed, and then you have the corruption. And eventually it's like the Canadian system. The Canadian system has worked for a while fairly well, their single-payer system. But that system is beginning to fall apart largely because of the neoliberal, the United States is demanding that Canada dismantle their single-payer system on the one hand. And then you have these reactionary politicians in Canada that are pushing to bring in the private insurance companies again. So, you know, that their system is under attack, and it doesn't cover pharmaceuticals. It doesn't cover eyes. It doesn't cover hearing. And there's a lot of things that aren't covered under the Canadian healthcare system. And, you know, we need a healthcare system in this country that's a world-class healthcare system befitting the richest country in the world. And that means that publicly funded, publicly administered, and publicly delivered, just like public education. You wouldn't send your kid to school with a check to pay their teacher to teach them math every day. You know, and we shouldn't be having to pay doctors for their services. The doctors should be put on the public payroll just like teachers or professors or the people that collect our garbage. And they should be public employees. And this is the kind of healthcare system that's required. This is the most cost-effective kind of healthcare system, and it provides the best care. I mean, as long as the profit motive is part of the healthcare system, people are never going to get the best care. That they're going to get what people can make the most money from. And that's why the profit motive has to be taken out of healthcare. And the only way to do that is through a national public healthcare system. And, you know, we should engage these people. A small group can begin to engage these people in a discussion over what kind of healthcare system is really needed. And I've traveled around talking about healthcare, and every place I've gone where I've put all the healthcare proposals before the people, people will always choose a national public health care system. And that's why the Democrats are afraid to bring that issue forward, because they know that people will choose that. You know, like I said, it's based on the model of public education, and there's very few people that will dispute that we need public education in this country. The other thing I want to point out that we sort of missed, when it comes to the student loans and getting rid of the student debt, that Congress has approved these collection agencies, private collection agencies, going after the people that owe these huge debts student loan on their student loans. And they're garnishing Social Security checks, and they're going after some of the most poverty-waged workers to garnish their wages, creating, you know, further poverty, while at the same time this government is making way for, you know, like you were talking about, cheap interest for the big business. And, you know, this has to be looked at and examined and put before the American people so they see what's going on. This is unconscionable that the federal government is enabling these private collection agencies to garnish people's Social Security checks and poverty wages. Just totally unconscionable.
Deborah, one of the other things which is, it's in the news every day when we look at the degree of racism that is, that we see on the streets, that we see on television, that we see in the workplace, that we see on the various social media. And this is something that needs to be addressed even within our group. Deborah, how would you say that a small group that we need to start addressing this urgent crisis of growing racism in this country and the need to have a unified voice to speak against it? Deborah?
Well, racism is just one of the things that that divides us. And so this administration is really pushing it, just like Hitler did. There always has to be an enemy. In this case, it's going to be a brown or a black person. And, you know, in Hitler's time, it was the Jewish people and communists and gay people and gypsies. But it's a way to divide the country, to divide the people, and make people afraid of this horrible enemy that's coming around that we need to fight against, which is just hideous that anybody would even think that we should do that. You know, we should be uniting the country. The president should be uniting the country and not making a certain part of the population an enemy.
One of the things that I find very interesting is part of the problem, and the bigger part of the problem right now is right there in the heads of government, in the head of government, right there in D.C. As you just mentioned, Deborah, when these acts of terrorism take place throughout the country, and it happens every week now, now we're calling it mental, they have a mental health issues.
Yeah.
And not even 50 miles away, it was an act of a vicious act where an individual and his the woman that was with him killed several people in some community center right there in San Bernardino. And within hours, they were calling it terrorism. And then here you have two individuals within 13 hours of each other kill almost 30 people. I believe it was 31 people within a matter of hours, and they calling it mental health as opposed to calling it terrorism. The thing that I see here, even when you want to classify one as mental health and the other one as terrorism, even in those statements that come out as a result of mental health and terrorists, the statements in themselves become racist, because what you're doing is you're basing the acts based on the color of someone's skin. And, and this is something that we need to address about the racism that is taking place, not only from the person in the White House, but also the hundreds of people that supposedly are representing this country in the Senate and also in the House of Representatives. So we have a problem. And I think part of our concerns need to be addressed to the leadership of this country, because you can't get rid of the problem until you get rid of the problems with the leadership. And part of getting rid of the leadership, I think what Alan has mentioned several times before, we need to address people within our ranks being willing to step forward and be able to being willing to run for public office, even if it's on a local level. What we see that is taking place in Michigan and what has taken place in Minnesota and what has taken place in New York and other parts of the country, where we have people that have run for public office, but they have become national and international voices. So racism is something that is definitely on the agenda that we need to address in this meeting. Now, Deborah, I want you to just take we're going to take a pause. I want you to mention about two things, about the meeting coming up this weekend, and we always like to take a pause to share about the program that you had on Monday, which is Left of Liberal. Could you just announce those two things, Deborah?
Yeah, our program is every Monday at 7 p.m. Central. We have a Facebook page, Left of Liberal, with host Alan and Debbie Mackey. There are several Left of Liberal pages, so look for the White Peace Poppy to find us, where you can reach us at 512-517-2708 and an email address of leftofliberal@outlook.com. The meeting that will be for Socialist Connection Action Network this weekend, it's titled The Make a Difference. It'll be in Austin, Texas, or actually a suburb, I think it's Cedar Park, Texas, at the Live Oak Unitarian Church this Saturday, August 10th, from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. It'll be a roundtable discussion, and if you go on the Socialist Can Connection Action Network page, it'll be the first thing you come to. You can respond and let us know if you're interested in coming. Also, consider joining Stuart Alexander's program. Facebook
it's
page.
It's our program.
our program. Socialists Can, it's a Facebook page on that you can join, and you'll see the information there.
And one of the good things is that we can see that's going to be taking place within the next few weeks. Within the next 2 to 3 weeks, we should have a website for Socialists Can, where we will be able to display much of the information that we have on the two programs, Left of Liberal and also Socialist Can. We'll also be able to have our Facebook page. Alan has a blog that he does, I believe, on a regular basis on the internet. We are also going to be including that on the website, and also the regular activities that we have going on around the country. We are definitely encouraging people to get involved, even on the local level. And we have some individuals that are coming from other states that will be participating as well. Now, some of the things that we're going to be discussing in this meeting is how we can be able to utilize many of the tools that are available to us, such as utilizing social media to engage people. Alan, why do we need to have that right at the forefront of any type of agenda that we have for a meeting, social media?
Well, the mass media has totally blocked any voices of the left, and unless we create our own type of media through things like Facebook and blogs, we're not going to be able to get out our message. And, you know, also, it's not just a matter of having an online presence. We need a person-to-person presence. We need people gathering in people's living rooms, getting together over coffee and breakfast, and meeting in church basements and in union halls, community centers. You know, two, three, four people can accomplish quite a bit if they put their heads together, and we got to encourage this. You know, we got to get back to tabling where people go out and set up a little table and have leaflets and petitions on them so people can become involved in these movements for change. And, you know, we've got to begin to talk about organizing a new political party in this country, I think, because unless we do this, the working class will never have a voice in this country. And when you think about it, the majority of the people in this country are working people, and they have no voice in Congress right now, or in the state houses, or even on city councils, very few working people. It's if you look at the city councils and school boards, it's mostly business people. A lot of them are involved in real estate. The same thing at the state level. And then if you look at the Congress, the House, and the Senate, these are people that are all controlled and bribed by Wall Street. Just the fact that we have all these Democrats running, and a precondition for participating in a debate is how much money they can raise from how many people, is you know, just ridiculous. It doesn't have anything to do with democracy. I'd like to point out, in Canada right now, in Manitoba, Canada, there's a provincial election taking place. And in the city of Winnipeg, they have five ridings. These are election districts. And they would be comparable to state representative districts here in this country. But you have the Liberal Party, you have the Conservative Party, you have the New Democratic Party, and you have the Communist Party with candidates, and you have the Green Party. They're going to have vigorous debates, and people will have a chance to look over what each of these parties has to say about how they believe the problems of working people should be solved, and of all people. And, you know, this is something that we got to strive for here in this country. We need a new political party that represents working people, a working-class-based people's party that is anti-monopoly and anti-imperialist for peace, and a party that isn't afraid to challenge Wall Street, not just for political power, but for economic power, too. And this is what we've got to begin to talk about. And unless we begin to talk about it, it's not going to happen. Like, you know, a lot of Democrats will say, oh, well, you know, we agree with you, and we're gonna start talking about that in the next election. Maybe we'll, you know, start a new party. But they don't intend to ever start a new party. That's a way to derail the attempts to start a new party. So we've got to begin to talk about building this new political party that's needed in this country. This is the only industrialized country in the world that doesn't have a working class-based people's party. That's something to think about. And that's probably why we have so few reforms that are solving the problems of working people. You know, Bernie Sanders talks about how he likes the Scandinavian countries. Well, those countries have working class-based people's parties, strong socialist and strong communist parties that have fought for years for the reforms that Bernie Sanders likes. Without those parties, those reforms would not exist. And they're constantly under attack, and these parties are constantly trying to defend these reforms. You know, we haven't had a defense of the New Deal reforms or the reforms of the civil rights movement for years in this country. There's been no defense. These programs have been under constant attack for close to 60 years now, and in some cases much longer. So, you know, if we don't have a party to defend these reforms, they're going to be taken away from us, you know, much quicker than they were brought forward. And,
exactly.
You know, Woody Guthrie used to say, you know, these people, what people win through mass struggles, these politicians take away with the stroke of a pen. And this is exactly what they do. If we're not vigilant, if we don't have a party that's vigilant in our interest, these people, they constantly take and take and take. And, you know, Medicare is a perfect example of that. Lyndon Johnson proposed it as part of his Great Society programs, and he envisioned it as being for the majority of the people in this country. And instead of serving the majority of the people, they've been constantly whittling away at Medicare, making the co-pays higher. You have this whole thing with Part B where you have to pay over $100 a month. Then you have the supplemental insurance to cover things that Medicare doesn't cover, and the things that Medicare covers are becoming less and less, so you have to have more expensive supplemental insurance. This is the way these politicians operate. And now they're even talking about attacking Social Security. They talk about, providing less monthly income for people on Social Security rather than providing more. And they're even
exactly.
talking about making putting Social Security in the hands of these Wall Street investors. And we've seen what they've done with the 401k programs and all these other phony pension programs. They've stolen every penny from working people. Thousands of working people that paid into these pension programs end up with nothing because the companies have declared bankruptcy as a way to get out of the pension programs. So, you know, this is a terrible situation that we're in. And we haven't had any defense of the programs, the reforms that people have won over the years through very aggressive struggles and that great sacrifice in a lot of the cases. People have died. People don't realize that. And this is a history we've been robbed of.
So, very important. We have been, from the inception of this group, Socialist Connection Action Network, we have encouraged breakfast locals. And last year, at the beginning of this year, I should say, we were encouraging members of Socialist CAN to meet in small groups. We call them breakfast locals. And that's 2, 3, even 4 comrades meeting for breakfast every 3 months. And what this is where you reach out to people that are right there in your neighborhood, people that you know that are, you know, that you can hop on a bus or even walk down to the end of the block where they're at and just meet them for breakfast every 2 to 3 months. Before you think about trying to go 2,000 miles to attend Socialist CAN, one of our annual meetings, just try in the meantime of just reaching out to one of your comrades that is like right in your neighborhood and just talk about some of the things that we talk about in our group, some of the things that that you are concerned about and where your common concerns are, where you can share with the broader group. And we are going to be discussing how we can expand this program, Breakfast Locals, where you just get together for breakfast, even lunch, where you can be able to discuss issues. The other thing that Alan, that you just mentioned is, and something also that Bob Maskey has brought up, and he is a comrade that I have worked with for well over a decade, but one of his suggestions was 10 points that he once brought up for discussion, 10 points for a labor party. And some of the things that he had discussed was having a strong union base to be run democratically, to support the Bill of Rights, to support human rights, to pledge international support for working people, to promote nonviolence, to be against wars and aggression, to promote actions on climate change, to have a likelihood of being registered in every state and not discriminate against sex, gender, race, color, age, disability, national origin, ethnicity, religious beliefs, or source of legal income. So these are some of the things that we will be discussing in this meeting that is coming up. Also, very important that we will be getting into again will be our free phone conference calling, how we can utilize Facebook and also Blog Talk Radio. Alan, I just want you to mention how you have been so successful with utilizing social media for your blog. I believe you do this on a regular basis. Is that correct?
Well, I try to. I get sort of behind every once in a while, like I am right now. But I'm going to be using my blog for the Rodney Reed case. And blogging is very important. My blog on National Public Health Care has had almost 2 million hits, maybe over that by now. And
2 million hits.
Yeah, and it shows that there's – it shows when you write about something that people are really interested in, they'll read what you have to write. And they're looking for things like you know, alternatives, because they're so fed up with the with what they listen to on television and what they read in the newspaper. The name of my blog is The Podunk Blog, and I'd invite people to read it. You know, I cover a lot of the things that I'm involved in, and I've covered the issue of organizing casino workers. I've covered the peace movement, the civil rights movement, the environmental movement. So people can read the blog and get an idea of
and what,
you know,
is it called again?
Do. What?
The what podunk. Is it called again?
The Podunk Blog. P-O-D-U-N-K.
The Podunk Blog.
Yep.
And
Thoughts,
and
it's called Thoughts
I have read your blog, and I definitely will be looking for the link to that. But this is something, as I mentioned, we're going to be including this in our website, because you have a lot of useful information that people can be able to obtain in regards to how we can make a difference. Now, you know, Alan and Deborah, I just want Deborah to comment, because Deborah, you have become very efficient in regards to how you utilize Facebook. But how can we as a small group utilize Facebook and other means that are available to us to be able to promote many of the activities that we're doing? Deborah?
Well, there are a lot of leftist-type pages that allow you to post on their page, and you can go to those. Alan does that a lot, too, and just get your message through that. Sometimes he does so much that he gets blocked, but because Facebook blocks him, they want you to pay to you know, bring all this out to these groups. But that's been very effective for him to just go on these pages and give your opinion or you know, write what you want. And a lot of people on those pages will agree with him. But I think the problem is mostly Facebook just, you know, they want money to promote what you're saying.
Right. Yeah, very interesting. I when you look at the Internet and how it can be effective, even when you consider Rodney Reed and trying to save him from going to the death chamber. Back in 2006, I was on a campaign to save the life of Stanley Tookie Williams, and he was on death row. I should say he was a reform prisoner. If any person should have been commuted to a life sentence, it should have been Stanley Tookie Williams, and I was posting information in regards to his sentence and also where he was scheduled to be executed on death row. And I was posting it on IndyMedia. At the time, I was able to post it on close to well over 40 different sites around the country, say Stanley Tookie Williams. And I utilized that as a source to be able to get information out to the public how important it was for us to get on this campaign to save his life. After eventually he was executed, I was involved in various political activities after that, where I was still utilizing the in the media sites around the country. But what I found very interesting is, as I was getting involved in various, at the time it was in 2008, where I was engaging in many of the national issues as I was running as a candidate for president. Eventually, I was a vice presidential candidate for Socialist Party USA, and later I was nominated as a presidential candidate in 2012. But as I would post information in 2007 and 2008 on the in-the-media sites, I received notifications from the FBI that I was not permitted to go on those sites. I was actually blocked. I was blocked by the federal government from posting information on those sites. So
yeah, I forgot about that. I was blocked on indie media too by the FBI.
So this is something, Alan, you're talking about democracy, and we will be talking about that this weekend. We really don't have democracy, but it's important that we form our groups, form our organizations, form a working class party, a labor party, where we can have a democracy among ourselves and be able to have representation among ourselves, where we can be able to expand it to the national audience. We have around 2 more minutes here. And Deborah, I want to thank you. I want to thank Alan. I want to thank Ruth Ann, everyone that has contributed to this meeting, that we, our first meeting coming up this weekend. Could you just give the announcement of the time, the date, time, and location for that meeting this weekend?
Yes, it's August 10th, this Saturday, from 8 to 6 at the Live Oak Unitarian Church. It's actually, the church is actually, I think, in Cedar Park. There's an event on Socialist Can. It's the first thing you come to on Socialist Can. If you can come, respond to that event and let us know. It'll be a roundtable discussion, and everybody can sit around and discuss these issues.
And I'll be looking for, I will be there, and I will be on time, and I'll be looking forward to meeting my comrades and all those that will participate at the meeting this weekend. As Deborah just mentioned, it will be at our first national meeting there at the Live Oaks Unitarian Church. Look forward to seeing you there. Thanks again for joining the program. Thank you, Deborah. Thank you, Alan. Thank you, Ruth Ann. Have a good evening, everyone.
Thanks for having us.
Yep. See you Saturday.
Good night.
See you Saturday.